The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Usually I start out with it's a great Monday. Obviously it's not, with the news of Kobe Bryant and what happened yesterday. Yesterday was, I'm in my office. My wife and I are having a discussion about some things. And I get a text from a friend who said, Kobe Bryant dead. And that was it. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And then about 10 seconds later, three, four more texts pop in, Kobe, Kobe, RIP, Kobe. And the TMZ report was out. And there's really nothing you can do at that point other than watch your social and just look around and say, okay, who could I call on this space? I'm not in Los Angeles, but there's people in LA whose opinions I trust and their content I trust implicitly. And when Kurt Sandoval at ABC 15, ABC 7 in LA, when he put out on Twitter, confirmed by the news department at Eyewitness News in LA, that was one, because I know Kurt inside and out, and he's not going to be reckless on a story like yesterday. And so I immediately decided, okay, we've got to weigh in on this because Kobe Bryant, on a personal level, was somebody that I really enjoyed watching play the game. I've always said that sports needs villains. That's been my line on Kobe forever, and that's just how it is. When he would come into Phoenix, we'd have a different air and a different energy. When you have a story like what happened yesterday, I remember where I was where John Lennon was shot and killed. Yeah, I'm that old. I remember Howard Cosell informing the world. I remember being in high school when Reagan. I remember where I was with Princess Di. This is where Kobe Bryant was. And this may sound funny to some of you who aren't really big sports fans. If you're just checking in, you're like, you're overstating this. I don't think I am. The Grammys last night start out with the shots of the number 8 and the number 24. If you're a basketball fan between the ages of about 20 and 45, somewhere in that space, Kobe Bryant was your guy, or not your guy. You might have had him as your villain. There was Michael Jordan before Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was alongside of Kevin Garnett, Allen Iverson, some terrific players that came into the league alongside of him. Before there was Michael Jordan, there was Magic, and there was Bird. Now there's been LeBron. So it covers a whole bunch of different areas and ages. And as the news got worse yesterday, because the initial was helicopter down, Kobe Bryant believed to be on it. Then the LA Times said, reported that it was pretty definitive he was on it. And then it was three people. Then it was five people. And I'm just going, this story can't get any worse. Well, it got worse. His daughter was on it. And then a baseball coach, well-regarded junior college coach who'd mentored and worked with lots of people. And nine lives were lost yesterday. And so we'll always remember where we were. At least I believe we will. Where were you, Eric, yesterday? Because you and I, it took a while to get my arms around it when we finally jumped in. Jordan's in here, too, because I want all you guys to jump on in. So, you know, just throw the cameras on all everybody. Where were you yesterday?
I was out and about. And like you, someone texts me and they were asking, hey, is this thing about Kobe true? So I opened social media and went to Twitter and I saw a couple people tweeting about it. And then I went a little deeper into my timeline and everyone was tweeting about it. And I was like, I can't believe that this is actually happening. Just can't. It just like time stood still for 10, 15 seconds while I tried to wrap my brain around what had happened. And it's,
I didn't think I first believed it until I needed to get deeper. And when you start having other outlets, you can't be wrong on somebody dying.
No. And Kobe and Kobe was always famous for taking helicopters to games. Yeah. Like he had been doing it for years.
Yep.
So when those dots got connected, I was like, yeah, this definitely happened.
What about you?
I was at Oso. I was with a couple of buddies doing some fantasy baseball stuff, and I saw some tweets and instantly my nose was in my phone the rest of the time.
Were people around you at the restaurant reacting?
Our table was. I can't gather really who, because at that time it was just the TMZ report, so it was pretty early on. And then by the time I got home, that's when ABC7 had confirmed it. And you know, I instantly put tweet notifications on for Woj, because I knew if anyone was going to have the correct facts, it was going to be him. So, I'll 100% remember where I was, kind of the pit in my stomach of like, is this real? Is this what's really going on? And then as it progressed, where you know, Gigi was on the plane, and the you know, the eight or I guess seven other passengers, like, that just it continuously got worse.
And it's crazy to think that the NBA lost two of their quote unquote faces in David Stern and Kobe Bryant within three and a half weeks.
So I was on ABC 15 this morning. They called, Kaylee O'Kelly called me yesterday and said, can you come in and talk about the local side of it? And they rolled some B-roll of Gigi. Mm-hmm. She's playing over at Powerhouse in a tournament. Mm-hmm. She was in a tournament over there, and she was just crushing everybody. I called Jeff Becker to see if Bex would come on. He's pretty shook up. Jerry Colangelo said he'll come on. His office said he'll come on here in about 10 minutes. Casey Jacobson is scheduled to join us. Al McCoy is scheduled to join us. To me, it was like Pat Tillman's day again, or as I mentioned earlier, Reagan. You know, I'm in my early 50s, so I've seen a few things. I was so young when the John Lennon deal happened, but I was a fan of Monday Night Football, and it was Howard Cosell who broke that bit of news. This one was 41 years of age in Kobe Bryant. This was a dad. To me, I'm fascinated by the what do they do after they're done with their career. Because we see mm-hmm. guys all the time, they're playing. Like, whatever Fitz does after his career is over, to me, will be fascinating.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Mamba Academy, I started studying that. And Kobe was just so anti-AAU, which, good for him, the nonsense of just specialization.
And Kobe was pretty private and guarded when he was playing. And then after his playing career, he became much more of a public figure in the sense of, like you said, like girls basketball, youth basketball.
The WNBA without Kobe is not getting, I don't think it's the legs. I want to talk to Jerry about that here in a couple of minutes. I mean, Eric, he was all about the WNBA mm-hmm. at a time yeah, where they needed somebody.
I don't know if there's been a bigger player advocate than Kobe Bryant
for the WNBA, I would say no.
For women's college basketball, for the sport as a whole. And, you know, they kept showing that clip of him and Gigi on the sideline just going over the game. You could tell it was now he was pouring himself into his daughters. And I saw some interviews from a few years ago of just like, would Kobe without kids be at this tennis event or be doing this or
sure.
you know, writing children's books or anything like that? And he's like, absolutely not. Like, so his evolution has been incredibly interesting.
All right, good stuff there. I'll let you go off that. Jordan and Eric wanted them to jump in studio. Our opening segment is brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That is with life insurance. The unexpected could happen, and are you protected? Do you have everything in order? Do you have everything in place in case you weren't able to come home tonight because something happened? Log in, get your free quote online at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, we appreciate Sagicor and their support. I ended up talking to my son yesterday about this one. He's 15. My daughter, who's in her mid-20s, when she played, I coached her in club basketball, and she was a club soccer kid. She got a scholarship. She's a badass, in my opinion, on the field. She's just tough. She had to retire because of two ACLs, and she got some concussions, but she was big on Kobe Bryant. I just love the fact that there was a guy that would come into town and have the whole town rooting against him that was of a certain fan base. Like the Suns. And I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of a team. Like, I'm here in Phoenix. Doesn't mean I'm a fan of the Suns. I was a fan of going to those games and seeing what went down. Jerry Colangelo is scheduled to join us in the next segment. If he can break out of a meeting, we hope to have Jerry on, then Casey Jacobson and Al McCoy. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, under difficult circumstances, but we appreciate Jerry Colangelo doing so, talking about the passing of Kobe Bryant, managing director of USA Basketball, former Suns owner. What did Kobe mean to you, Jerry?
Well, he meant a great deal. He was someone I admired a great deal, someone I had the pleasure and blessing of being involved with for 24 of his 41 years. And so it was a tragic loss for the basketball world, but more importantly, his wife and other daughters who obviously are left behind. And yesterday was just surreal as it relates to the announcement. No one wanted to believe it. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was hopeful that it was misinformation, a mistake, that it would be corrected. But very quickly it became obvious it was real. It did happen. and spent the rest of the day kind of dealing with it, speaking to people close to me, a lot of interviews, just kind of dealing with the reality of life and the tragic loss involved.
Yeah, the passing of David Stern 3 weeks ago and now the passing of Kobe Bryant for someone like yourself, I would think is just a lot.
You know, Brad, you get to an age where it's reality that we're all on a journey in life, and there's only one person who knows when that journey is going to end. And for Kobe, it ended at the age of 41. Yesterday, in an interview with Kevin McHale, a Hall of Famer himself, he said, yes, he lived 41 years, but they were full. They were impactful years, and that's really true. He lived life to the fullest. He made a great transition from the game, a 20-year career where he left without question being one of the two, three, four, it doesn't matter, five best players of all time. And his outstanding record speaks for itself, but the transition he made to spending time with his, he wanted to be a better father and a husband and a businessman and start a whole new life. And he was well on his way to being incredibly successful in that, in his ventures. And to see it all squashed out is such a sad thing, but we have to face facts. We're all on that journey, and it's all going to end for us. We just don't know when it's going to be.
Jerry Colangelo with us. I want to go back, Jerry, to when the Suns in 96, did you attempt, or let me just put it, when did you first see Kobe work out and play? I heard an interview with Jerry West yesterday who said it was the best workout that he had ever seen of Kobe coming out of high school into the NBA. The Suns that year took Steve Nash. Kobe was taking a few slots ahead of him. But did you get the chance to work him out?
We did. We worked him out in the arena in Phoenix, downtown Phoenix, and I remember it very well. I mean, he was like a man, you know, at 17 years of age. He had great confidence. He was a tremendous athlete. Really believed he could make the transition without missing a step. And he did, if you recall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he struggled a little bit his first year, but, I mean, Kobe was destined to be what he became. He was just that focused. He had a tremendous workout for us. We thought we were going to get him. And until the Lakers traded Divac to Charlotte just before the draft and jumped us by a spot or two, they ended up with Kobe. We then took Steve Nash. Now, that worked out great. For us, Kobe turned out to be one of the greatest of all time.
Did you try to move up to get him that day of that draft? Do you remember?
You know, I don't remember the detail. I'm sure we did, you know, in terms of inquiring as to whether or not there was something above us that we might be able to jump the Lakers, but that wasn't to be.
When did he come on your radar for USA Basketball?
Well, he was always on my radar. Once I got involved with USA Basketball, I wanted him to be part of what turned out to be the Redeem Team.
Mm-hmm.
I came on board in 05, if you recall, and 06 we played in the World Championships. He did not participate in that endeavor. But then we met in my offices a couple of days after we scored 81 points in a game. And the Lakers came in to play the Suns. He's in my office, and I thought I'd put him on for a bit. And I said, Kobe, if you're going to be part of this team, I want you to know we may change your role. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, instead of being a scorer, I want you to be a distributor. And he looked at me like, are you kidding?
Have you seen
and
me play?
I said, huh? I was just putting him on.
Yeah.
And he said, this was a great response. He says, I'll do whatever you want me to do because I just want to be part of it, which said it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that, you know, kind of locked things in. And a few months later, we're at training camp, or when we went to training camp to get ready for the Olympics. He got in a day and a half or so early. he was in the weight room at 5:30, a quarter to six in the morning. And as soon as the other players saw that, this is leadership, LeBron James followed him, and Bosh and Carmelo and Wade and all the players who we had at that time. So he led right from the get-go. And then in our first scrimmage of that camp, it was just like a minute into the scrimmage, and there was a loose ball, and he goes diving head first after the loose ball, again leading by example.
Mm.
And as I've told people, in that final game against Spain in the championship game of the Olympics in 08, without him, I'm not sure we could have won. He came through in the clutch. He made some big shots along with Dwayne Wade, and we were able to win the gold. And I have fond memories of embracing each other after the game. And, you know, it was a moment you'll never forget.
You pour yourself into your players when you ran the Suns, and knowing them inside and out off the court. Did you ever get time to just spend with him away from basketball and just find out what he was all about?
No, I can't say that I spent time away from basketball, but basketball gave me opportunity to spend time with him and learn
mm-hmm.
more about him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting watching some games. I don't know why this transpired, but sitting looking at a couple of games. It may have been the Tournament of the Americas in Las Vegas, and just getting to know each other, you know, a lot better. But I guess what I would say is when you're with someone for an extended period of time, and the Olympic situation gives you a good month, month and a half of time together every day, all the hours in the day, you get to know someone pretty well.
Before I let you go, Jerry, and appreciate Jerry Colangelo's time, there's been a lot of movement on social from fans suggesting let's change the logo from Jerry West to be Kobe Bryant. He needs to go into the Hall of Fame class. I think that's a no-brainer this year. What are some of the things in the early stages here that you look at and say, this makes a lot of sense? Some fans are critical of games being played yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of different directions to go on his death and not a roadmap on how to handle everything. I think so far everything's been appropriate. Address some of the questions that fans have been throwing out there.
Well, not familiar with all their questions. And honestly, you kind of deal with things. I thought personally, as you just stated, you did, that how the players responded in the games, the things that took place spontaneously
mm-hmm.
were great. They were tremendous. You know, talking about changing the NBA logo, that's a whole another discussion for another time. You can't have knee-jerk reactions.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't appropriate.
Hall of Fame.
As it relates,
yeah.
Yeah, Hall of Fame is a different story. We have a meeting in Dallas on Wednesday of the nominating committee. We'll go through a book of about 50 candidates. We'll get it down to 10. You look at the list of 50, and obviously three individuals stood out from the get-go.
Yep.
And that was Kobe Bryant and Garnett and Duncan. And, you know, one can assume that all three of them will be moved forward and announced as finalists, and that when the final list goes to the Honors Committee, where there are 24 votes, 18 votes required to be inducted, that all three of them will probably be first ballot inductees. That's my guess. Their records, their outstanding statistics over 20-year careers is unbelievable. Some of the best we've ever had in basketball.
Yeah, no question. Hey, I appreciate your time on short notice. Thank you for coming on. Good to hear your voice.
All right, Brad.
Stay well.
Bye-bye.
There's Jerry Colangelo with us, Managing Director of USA Basketball. Casey Jacobson is next, then Al McCoy. So as yesterday was progressing, and the story was moving through on Kobe Bryant, it was, no, this can't be happening. And as a kid that grew up in Southern California, actually in San Diego, Joe Jellybean Bryant played for the Clippers in San Diego back when I was first cutting my teeth. I think anybody that grew up in Southern California with Kobe being with the Lakers, friends that I've talked to through the years, would have to have been impacted by him and on all levels from their junior high, high school, college, and pro days. And Casey Jacobson, I believe, would be right in the middle of that. FS1, Pac-12 Network. He's been on the Suns broadcast, of course, and grew up in Glendora. You came into the league in 2002. Kobe came in 1996. So when I heard that you were coming on today, I had to feel as though this hit you like a ton of bricks because this would take you back to your youth. Right, Casey?
No question, Brad. Good to be with you today.
Yeah.
Just a somber day, though. Yesterday, I was working for Fox in studio, and we were doing our pregame show for Michigan State versus Minnesota. And about halfway into the show is when the news broke. And we had been talking about Michigan State and Big Ten basketball, and then we completely stopped. I mean, once the news was confirmed, right, and it wasn't just a rumor.
Right.
We stopped talking about college basketball. I mean, the death of Kobe Bryant shakes. It's not just a basketball story. It's a worldwide story. And it's not just, like, of course Kobe's famous, Brad. And, you know, I would argue that Kobe is probably one of the 10 most famous people on planet Earth. So when somebody like this dies tragically at such a young age, it is not just a basketball story. It's a worldwide story.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be, like, so, yeah, I did grow up. You know, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. And I, you know, had dreams of wanting to play in the NBA. And I got to realize those dreams. And when I first came into the league, you mentioned in 2002, Kobe and Shaq were in the midst of their dominance. They were the two best players in the NBA at the time. And I got a chance to play against Kobe 9 times during my 4-year NBA career. And every time that I played against him, I knew I had to lace up my shoes a little bit tighter. I mean, there are players in the NBA that are great. And then there are players that you know are going to be Hall of Famers, and even better than that, like icons. And, you know, Kobe was already well on his way when I came into the NBA. So, but yesterday was difficult, Brad. We had to talk about it on air and trying to go on live television and be thoughtful and considerate of the other victims of this crash was difficult to do. And also, you know, and I want to be clear on this. Like, Kobe was not a perfect person.
Sure.
He was not a perfect basketball player. He was very complicated. He was very controversial. But I wasn't a huge fan of Kobe's game, the way he played. But I was absolutely a fan, and I respected him for his work ethic. He had the best reputation of any player in the NBA of caring about winning. And doing whatever it took, whether that meant take care of his body, put in the extra hours that it, you know, to develop his skill level. His reputation was second to none. So even though I didn't like Kobe as a player, I respected him so much, and his legacy for me will be one of the hardest workers that I have ever played against or even heard about.
Well, I'm curious on this though, Casey, and that is, you're growing up in high school, your formative years, right? Every one of us in our formative years of high school had a player that we wanted to mimic. Mine was George Gervin, okay? I outgrew George Gervin. I could never be the Iceman. I had the poster. I did all the stuff that George Gervin did. You're there in Glendora, and Kobe yet wasn't that guy for you. So this was an era of Iverson and Garnett. So who was the guy for you if it wasn't Kobe Bryant?
Oh, I was born in 1981. So when I was 10 and 11 years old, we're talking 1991, 1992, who was the best player in the world? It was Michael Jordan.
It was Michael, sure.
So, like, I had Chicago Bulls everything. I had a Michael Jordan starter jacket, hat, shoes, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan was my hero, my idol. Because, again, Kobe's only three and a half or four years older than I am. I mean, like, you know, so I didn't know who Kobe Bryant was when I was growing up and playing ball. So Jordan was my icon. And you know, in 2002, Jordan was still playing for the Washington Wizards. So
okay.
My rookie year, I got to compete against Michael Jordan, my hero, for sure. But Kobe Bryant, like, let's not get it twisted. Kobe Bryant was the best shooting guard in the NBA, and it wasn't really even that close when I finally got to the NBA.
Okay, so I'm curious on something. We're talking with Casey Jacobson, FS1, Pac-12 Network. He's been a part-time Suns analyst, jumps in and out of the Valley, played in the NBA. When you would get the scouting report for those 9 games that you went up against Kobe Bryant, and they'd walk in and the coaches would say, okay, force this guy off the arc, push this guy this direction or that direction, here's his weakness. What was in the scouting report for Kobe Bryant on those nights as the weakness? How could you attack him?
Yeah, it's a good question, Brad. So I remember. So Tim Gergerich, who's a longtime basketball coach and was our assistant for a couple of years in Phoenix, I remember talking to Gerg about this. And he said, you know, because he had the most detailed scouting reports about all the players. Mm. Like what the percentage and when they drive left versus when they drive right, right? And I remember talking to Gerg, and he's like, look, all the analytics, you know, they tell stories about guys. This guy favors this. Kobe, he can do it all, okay? He's going to put up 25 to 30 shots tonight. He's going to drive left. He's going to drive right. He's going to pump fake. He's going to try and post you. He's going to try and shoot threes. All you have to remember is where our help is in our scheme. So against Kobe, it's not about, hey, force him left, force him right. It's understand, depending on where he is on the floor, where your help is. And that's the only thing that you can do, because he is going to score. He's going to shoot, because, you know, you can't take away everything from a player like Kobe. So the whole thing is you need to know, like, Sean, and it wasn't me guarding him. Let's be clear about that, Brad.
You never guarded him once.
Absolutely. No, of course. Of course I guarded him several times.
Okay.
I was not the primary defensive assignment. That was Joe Johnson and Sean Marion. And those guys would be the primary defenders, and then we would all be helpers. But, of course, you know, during the course of a basketball game, Brad, you're going to get switched off or stuff, you know. There's a fast break, and you just have to match up. I guarded them several times, but that's what I remember most, being in those meetings with Gerg, and he's just explaining, we just have to understand where our help is, because Kobe is one of those special players that can score at any level.
When you played games against Kobe Bryant in Phoenix, did it at times feel like you were playing, and this is when the Suns were still really good, but were there times where you felt like you were playing in L.A. because the energy in the building was so directed towards him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't until, you know, my third year when we got Steve Nash. But, yes, when you play the Lakers in Phoenix, it was probably, you know, I would say 60 to 70% Suns fans and, you know, 30 to 40%, you know, Lakers fans. That's kind of how it went.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers brand was massive. Kobe was massive. Let's not forget Shaq too. Shaq was larger than life. So it seems like a different life, Brad. Shaq and Kobe were teammates in their primes. Like, that's insane. Mm-hmm. They won, you know, a three-peat, and they would have won more had they not, you know, broken up for a multitude of reasons. But those were the two best players in the NBA. And they played in the same team. So, like, they helped grow the brand of the Lakers, which was already mega huge. They helped it to another level. And then when Shaq left and he won that title in Miami before Kobe won another one, you thought, oh, maybe it was just Shaq. And then Kobe teams up with Pau Gasol and wins another back-to-back to cement his legacy as a top 10 Hall of Famer, maybe a top 5 all-time player in the NBA, depending on who you talk to.
I remember the last time that Kobe was here, we did a story on it, and we actually reposted on the site today, and it was him talking about when the Suns knocked them out of the playoffs in back-to-back years and how hard he took that and how he hated but respected at the time on the court, not off the court. He said they're great guys, Rajah Bell, Steve Nash, and that whole crew. And I think the tie between Phoenix and Kobe Bryant was one of the biggest villain would roll into town. And I'm sure that's how it was in every NBA building. But Casey, I think the NBA, I think all sports needs villains. And I say this respectfully, that he was the villain in the NBA. Before him, it was probably Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the villain that would come in. And but do you subscribe to that theory too, that villains are needed and that Kobe was on that list?
No question, Brad. You know, now I work on TV, which is the entertainment business.
Sure.
And villains absolutely help ratings spike. I mean, if everybody loves everybody and there's no conflict, That is boring. It's boring to tell those stories. It's boring to watch those stories. Kobe was no doubt one of the most controversial NBA players of all time. He was one of the greatest, and he was one of the most controversial, and that's why he will. That's why. That's how you reach iconic status. I know of no other way to do it. Even LeBron. He's loved and hated, and that's why he is who he is. But Brad, you know, talking about Kobe Bryant, I mentioned that I didn't really like him very much as a player, and even his persona when he was a player. Mm-hmm. But the most tragic thing to me in all of this is not just, you know, that he lost his daughter, 13 years old, which I have a 13-year-old daughter as well. But Brad, I was starting to love the Kobe Bryant post-retirement.
Yes.
He was an involved dad.
Yep.
He was absolutely diving into how he could help and grow youth basketball. That was kind of like his mission, was to help grow basketball worldwide from a young level. Not, you know, he wasn't talking with high school and college players.
He was ripping the AAU process, just crushing it.
Yes.
Just crushing the age of specialization, which needed to happen. You know, like the WNBA yesterday, he was a champion of the women's game to grow it, but he just ripped the AAU circuit, which deserves it, quite frankly.
Absolutely. And he has the gravitas, he has the status, he has the finances to maybe to have done something about it. So I'm crushed for all the victims and their families and Kobe's surviving wife and daughters. I feel a little bit robbed, though, because I was starting to love the Kobe Bryant that was just starting the second chapter of his life. And Brad, you remember how beloved Magic Johnson was when he played for the Lakers?
Yep.
What Magic's done in his post-career in the community of Los Angeles is so much more impactful than what he ever did as a player. And Kobe was on his way to do that, and maybe even more than what Magic has done. And that's why I am devastated for that. We lost a great basketball player. Okay, that's sad. But we lost one of the best ambassadors of basketball, and a man who really seemed to be embracing his fame and doing something positive with that. And that is something that I'm so, so sad to lose. And that's the Kobe I will miss.
Okay.
That's the Kobe that I will remember.
That is well put. I'm going to ask you something that's rather odd about what happened in the NBA yesterday, and I'll get you out of here. Did you hear about Trae Young and Devin Booker's stat lines yesterday?
No.
Trae Young, 24 shots. Where's number 8? Devin Booker, 24 shots. Where's number 1? The two combined for 81 points yesterday. Now, I'm not going to go Twilight Zone. Yeah, go look at it. I'm not going to go Twilight Zone on you. However, can two players in their own way say to each other, yeah, let's do this our way for Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, you can. That's incredible. I did not hear that. I saw that they were doing the 24-second and the 8-second violations to start.
Look at the numbers.
Tributes and
look at the numbers.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the point total. I don't know how you could manipulate it to where you can make it 81 on the dot.
Young had 45. Devin had 36. Both of them took the same amount of shots. 24. Young, where
the shots part of it, Brad, makes sense to me.
Okay,
but how do you you're making a certain amount of free throws and threes and twos? That seems like really, really difficult to choreograph.
Well,
it's just got to be a coincidence.
I just think it's a coincidence, but what a coincidence! I mean, it's truly
incredible.
Stunning, and the numbers don't lie. They add up to 81, which of course he scored. They're where the numbers of the jerseys, which is 8-1. And they both took 24 shots. So I'll let you go off that one. I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you, Brad. Have a good week.
There's Casey Jacobson with us. FS1, Pac-12 Network, does some occasional work for the Suns on their pre- and their post-game show. Speaking of the Suns, their pre- and post-game show, yesterday Tom Chambers did a terrific job of keeping it together in the pre-game show. I'm a consumer of a lot of media, and I was listening earlier today to Joel Myers, the longtime voice of the Lakers before John Ireland, And Joel was, I couldn't even get through his show. He just couldn't on Sirius XM. I heard Kevin Harlan, the great Kevin Harlan. We found the Raja Bell Kobe Bryant incident. And Kevin Harlan and Doug Collins did the play-by-play in color on the Raja Bell being throwing Kobe Bryant to the ground. And that brought chills to my spine because Kevin Harlan still sounds the same way. It's really, really interesting stuff. All right, we continue on this Monday, sports360az.com. Now it's our pleasure to have the Hall of Fame voice, the Suns, on the air on Kobe Bryant, and that would be Al McCoy. You've had about 24 hours, Al, to take all of this in, and I'm curious, from everything that you've read, heard, seen, what hasn't been said that you feel like, Brad, here's what I saw when Kobe Bryant would walk into a building or when I'd see him before games or after games? What hasn't been said?
Well, I think probably everything has been pointed out. Kobe, you know, we put entertainers, special athletes on a pedestal and deserve for what they contribute, and we just don't ever anticipate anything like this ever happening. Mm-hmm. I guess we feel they're above day-to-day things that happen in people's lives. And it was such a shock when the accident was reported yesterday. And I think maybe more so to those of us that have been close to following his career, really since his high school days, Brad, that how he had handled his retirement, how he had grown as a father, a husband, a family man, a contributor to life. And these are the things that I think were so impressive to so many of us that has followed his career. You know, so many entertainers or athletes don't retire easily. He
right.
did.
Right.
And he just seemed to slide into the next phase of his life. And I think that's the thing that really needs to be pointed out. And I think it has been. But he was one of a kind, no question about it.
As the voice of the Suns, Al, and as a Hall of Famer for the which I put in the league, as overseeing the league as one of the voices of the game, when Kobe would get on your schedule, when the Lakers would come in to play Phoenix or you would go into L.A., was there anything a little extra inside of you of what might I see tonight?
Oh, there's no question about it. No question about it. When Kobe Bryant came to town, you knew it was going to be an exciting night. Or when you went to Los Angeles to play the Lakers, you knew the same thing, because you have to stop and think, was there ever a more game-in, game-day competitive person in the NBA than Kobe Bryant? You really have to stop and think, because that was his game. Competition, winning, championships, and that was what it was all about. And he made no bones about it. That's the way he played the game. And as a result, if you were a Suns fan, you may not necessarily wanted him to come to town, but you wanted to see him play and you wanted to see that competitive nature out on the floor. So it was something special when the Lakers and Kobe Bryant came to town, no question about it.
Villains are needed. Villains are necessary. And I can't think of a bigger villain in Arizona sports through the last 20 years, well, not last 20 years, but the last years when he was on the floor than Kobe Bryant in any sport, Al. I can't think of someone from an NFL team or a baseball team that would have the city of Phoenix so polarized. Either they were a Laker fan with a 24 jersey with the hat backwards in the stands, or they were Suns fans that just wanted to come to the game and boo the hell out of him. There was no middle ground.
Well, that's right, because in one aspect, you thought, oh, no, is he here again? Is he going to kill us again?
Yep.
Is he going to beat the Suns again? Yep. And there was that philosophy. But then when it was all over and you left the arena and you were going home, you thought, what a player.
Yeah.
I mean, what a competitor. And I think we all had that respect for him.
In 05,
I never had a strong personal relationship with Kobe. We were on, hey, hello, how you doing?
Yeah.
And I used to kid him when I'd see him come in. I'd say, oh, you're not coming to town again. We have to put up with you again tonight, Kobe. But that was the philosophy when you knew you were going to be competing against him. But as I said, when it was all over and you thought about it, you'd say, man, that guy can play.
Yeah.
He can compete. He's the best.
In 05 and 06, when the Suns beat the Lakers and the Raja Bell incident, Did you ever find yourself driving home saying, that Kobe Bryant, that guy?
Well, obviously. Yeah. And I'm chuckling because of the great memories I had and being able to be a part of his time in the NBA. And as I said, the bottom line with Kobe Bryant was he was a winner. Yeah. And that's the bottom line. And the great thing to me, and I thought our own Steve Nash's comment on Kobe's passing when he said he was tremendous as a player, but I had so much love and respect for him the way he dealt with his girls and his family.
Yep.
And I think we all felt that same way because he handled his retirement so smoothly. He moved into the next phase of his life, did a book. He was honored for a film that he did, continued to work with young players. And I think we were all impressed with that phase of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I was overly impressed with the WNBA and how he just completely put his arms around that and the seedy side of AAU basketball and how he wanted to clean it up and all that. I mean, I think that's been underreported, and I hope in the weeks and months to come what he's done for women's sports gets more attention.
Well, obviously, yesterday was such a shock that it's almost hard to even recap the thoughts and the things that went through your mind when you heard the disastrous news.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice. Stay well. Appreciate the time, Al, as always. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Brad. Thank you very much.
Here's Al McCoy with this Hall of Fame voice of the Suns. You know, we do this, and there are days where it's not easy to do. And we're there to entertain and inform, entertain. I like to tell the staff, and I've just seen that through the years. And, you know, this story is just one of those you can't really, I can't make sense of this, okay? And to me, it's like when Pat Tillman passed away, I couldn't make sense of it that day here in Phoenix. This is a player that many of you didn't like, but I think you respected. I think there were days where you had your calendar circled or your tickets 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead of time saying, I'm going to get to see Kobe and the Lakers, and I don't like them. And that's what sports is all about. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day. Jordan Hamm jumped in as well. We're going to head over and work on our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. It airs every week, 16 airings a week. We appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona. We are self-funded. We're very open about that. That means we have sponsors. Without the sponsors, we don't do this. We've been doing it for 8 years. We appreciate their support and encourage you to support them as well. Have a great day.